Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's up, everybody? Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in Berea, where the Browns concluded their training camp today. Final practice of training camp. It was a short one. And now this is the real beginning of the dress rehearsal week. They'll have Tuesday off like normal. Now they'll have to put the game plan in a little bit faster because it's a Saturday game instead of a Sunday game. But this is going to be the start of normalcy for the Browns. I think this is the first week that's going to feel somewhat like a regular season.
It will. And that big phew was for all those vets who now, have a place, either a home, apartment, condo, whatever they're doing, whatever their living quarters are here in the Northeast Ohio area, they're able to sleep in their own bed. And that's the one big difference. You know, some of the guys that I know, on the team or just in, as a player, you want to get out of, it's a change in routine. The same way the Orange and Brown scrimmage, that bus ride down to Columbus, the train ride to Rochester, it changes, changes things up. You're now going to get into, as you mentioned, the game week, the prep, that schedule, and you're going to be able to sleep at home. You're going to be at home. How do you manage your time? I think the personalities on this locker room is something that's going to have to be monitored. That conversation has been had, I'm sure, either from player to player, coach to player, with all the injuries we've had, hamstrings. You heard Coach Patton talk about diet and sleep and what they do with their time as professionals. This is part of the game. And how they manage it, or the teams that manage it best, are the teams that come out of the gates fast early in the season, which you need to do, especially for these Cleveland Browns.
Hey, you got to find that stride. It'll be the first road game of the year coming up this Saturday against the Bucs. And today we want to get into kind of our breakdown of the Bills game, our final position-by-position breakdown of the Bills game. We're going to hear from Josh McCown today. We're going to hear from Mike Pettin today. We're going to hear from Chris Tabor today. And we're going to hear Andy Lee with us in studio. So we've got a lot to get into here today. And our Ohio Business Machine's hot topics are about Game 3. How much do you want to see the starters play? Do you get a little bit nervous after seeing what happened to the Steelers and Packers yesterday? By the way, the Steelers, Pouncey got hurt, Tuitt got hurt, and then we know Green Bay losing Jordy Nelson for the season, which is a big blow to that offense.
Terrible. I sent those text messages out just because of Jordy's such a great guy.
Was he new at the infancy of his career then
when you guys won the Super Bowl? He was emerging as the star that he is now.
Okay.
I would say, if I had to guess off the top of my head, a 50 to 60 catch a year guy at that point.
Did he or did he not have the first touchdown in the Super Bowl?
He did. And it was
I know that because a friend of mine may have wagered on that. There you go.
And that season, 2010, was when they started the process to master that Aaron Rodgers back shoulder throw to Jordy Nelson. That was like when it really, really came
It was in the mix.
Yes, it was in the mix.
It was in the mix. So, yeah, big blow there. Jordy going down. That's why they drafted Devontae Adams in the second round last year. They seem to always have somebody ready to go. They'll still have Randall Cobb. Good thing they re-signed him. But are you concerned about that? I was, it was another light practice today. Tons of veterans were off today. It seemed like nobody from the starting secondary practiced today. Not one person.
Okay.
Tremont got the day off. Whitner got the day off. Kruger got the day off. Starks got the day off. On the offensive line, John Greco got the day off. There were a lot of days off today. They're off tomorrow. So I was just kind of surprised, and I was actually talking with Travis Benjamin about it in here. He was getting ready to do an interview on the preview show tonight, which is, by the way, 7 to 8 p.m. on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Ken Carman, Gerard Cherry. They'll be joined by Shane Wynn, Travis Benjamin, and Jim Donovan. He said it was a long camp, but I said it seemed like a pretty light camp
in terms of camp.
On field. He was like, it was really long. He's like, yeah, practice wasn't the longest part of it. But I just thought it was interesting to see so many guys with days off before a day off.
Yeah.
Is that something you've seen before?
Not really. There's usually a method to the madness. But in referencing the length of camp, we're probably one of the longest camps in the National Football League with when we report and when we actually break. And when I think of a long camp, the first word that pops into my mind is control. And it's not Mike Pettin, like the puppet master in any way, shape, and form, but it's like I have one opportunity a year to get them in this controlled environment where, you know, their time is my time, meaning I can, you know, control when they're here, when they're there, what they do, what they eat, what, you know, when they sleep or should be sleeping, all those things. And you want to use every single day to your advantage and keep them in that controlled environment, because as I just mentioned, you know, in the onset of the show, you now have lost control now that guys are at home. They're dealing with wives and babies and kids, kids going back to school, or influences from friends, neighbors, yep. You know, all that kind of stuff. And it matters. And, you know, how you deal with it is part of what I always talk about being a pro. You know, being a pro, setting those parameters to those people that, you know, in or are around you to say, hey, this is my focus level. These are my expectations. And my career and this upcoming season means the world to me. Give me that respect.
Do you think the reason that they break now before the third preseason game is because this is the one that's most like a regular season game, and they want to have, you know, they want to have that kind of normal feel, yeah, headed into the game?
Yes, they do. It's as I've mentioned many times before, and it was something that, you know, was very new to me post career. But we're creatures of habit. You know, I'm on time for everything because I was forced to be on time for every single thing for, you know, between Ohio State and the National Football League for 12 years in a row. I've been told where to be, when to be there, how to do it, and if I screw it up, to do it again. And that's kind of like the mentality that I have. So for these guys now, they're forced to deal with, you know, following a schedule, but yet having the freedoms of not being in a hotel in a controlled environment where, you know, there's security guys, you know, on every floor checking beds and that stuff that goes on throughout sure. training camp. They now can go to bed and watch whatever show, you know, on their couch as long as they want. So it's the calm before the storm, and they're recreating, you know, that new game day habit this week.
They are, and they are set to go, and we're going to break down the game from last week. One of the questions we have for people today is about who you're most excited to see return to the lineup for the Browns. Is it Dwayne Bowe? Are you happy that he's back, or Duke Johnson? And it's something we can think about. Dwayne Bowe, it's interesting to me, for a team that is, you know, words into action is the mantra, is talking a lot.
Yes, he is
very
and
confident
has.
In himself. He seems very confident in this offense and is talking about it really all the time.
Yeah, and I think if I read, you know, the first couple excerpts of John DeFilippo's interview, which will actually air tomorrow, along with Jim O'Neill, the defensive coordinator, and Dwayne Bowe was just kind of exuding the same thing Flip's exuding about this offense. What they're capable of doing, how confident they are, and the things that they've seen, and who can play, play what role for this football team. And if I had to personally say, who am I most excited about returning, you know, and give a percentage, I'm 50-50 on Dwayne Bowe and Duke Johnson, because I truly do believe, with the time that is missed, that Dwayne Bowe can be a huge asset for this team. Just needs to build that trust and rapport with Josh McCown. Will have to happen in the next 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks per se, before the season opener. And the little that I saw of practice yesterday as we were doing the live taping of the Dog Pound Report, I loved what I saw of Duke. I loved where he was lining up, what he was doing after the snap, the jocks that he made defenders lose trying to cover him in space. And you could kind of see a giddy, up-tempo beat about John DeFilippo every time he was in the huddle, and then again lining up in the formation.
Yes, I'm excited to see. To me, Duke Johnson is going to be a little bit of a difference maker in terms of what he can do for them. Dwayne Bowe, if he can play, that's great, but he's still a receiver. He's a possession receiver. He's not
going to run
a
reverse. He's not, yeah, exactly.
I feel like this team has an opportunity to get. He might be the number one playmaker on this team when it's all said and done because of what he can do in space. He looks so fast in the variety of ways that they can utilize
him. You're absolutely right, and what will happen to a guy like Duke Johnson, and this is the defensive mindset, you know, which will then, you know, bring on the onset of how can the offense use this to an advantage. We will force Duke Johnson into action. We will force him into situations where you think he can win. There will be plays that are, you know, or pieces of this game plan and playbook that are just custom made for Duke Johnson, has his name written all over them.
Yep.
You don't like West in that situation. You don't like the Crow, you know, no discount to them, but you don't like them. You want this for Duke Johnson. And what's great about this is as he starts to become an asset to this offense, you then usher him on the field almost as a decoy.
Yep.
You know, lining him up, moving him around, building the same formation, you know, that someone might have saw on tape, you know, a week prior, a few games ago, at some point in the preseason or regular season. And then you do something totally opposite. And it's that, you know, kind of tendency breaker that because guys like Duke, like Darren Sproles, like Devin Hester when he played offensively, I'm sure maybe Josh Cribbs was that for another defense when he came on the field, wasn't so much an offensive threat, but could throw the ball, the reverse,
sure.
You know, the zone read, the triple, the option, all those types of things. If you can use him to your advantage as a playmaker, and you use him as an advantage as a tendency breaker to get, he'll create so much tension. There'll be that alarm going off in the defender's head, and you force that football somewhere else.
Yes, they will. And listen, everybody out there, I guess this doesn't apply to anybody, but we're getting a lot of texts that the app is not working. So we will try to work on that, but. I guess if I'm saying this to people trying to
We're on the radio doing a radio show.
They can't hear it. They can't hear me anyway, so I guess it really doesn't matter. I think it's a big – it's going to be very interesting to see these guys, and I'm excited to see both of them in their first preseason action. I think that Duke Johnson has an opportunity, as I said, to be a big-time playmaker in space, be utilized in a lot of ways. Want to see what Bo is. He's very matter-of-fact about it. He said, listen, people are going to doubt us. Let them doubt us. When we get on the field, we're going to show them a high-powered offense. And I hope that he is able to do that. It would be good.
You're right, Nathan. And what's so funny is in Rochester, you know, had the opportunity to, you know, to catch up with Brian Hartline. You know, he and I are buddies, you know, on and off the field. And in one of those breaks, as defenders were making their way from one field to the other to, you know, to come together and continue on the next period of practice, he said the same thing. You know, so, and this is a guy that's practiced every snap of training camp, hasn't missed a day, you know, I don't think he's gotten a luxury vet day off at any point throughout training camp, and is proving himself and proving his value of why we sought him out via free agency. But he said extremely confident in this offense, how efficient they are, and the fact that it's going to be, this offense will be laughing at those that are laughing about them right now. Once the season begins.
I certainly hope that is the case when it is all said and done. All right, when we come back, we're going to get into our position-by-position look at that Bills game, some stats, who surprised us, who stood out in a positive way, maybe who stood out in a not-so-positive way. We're going to highlight all those things as we get ready, really, for the final dress rehearsal to see what's going on with this football team before the first round of cuts when they have trimmed the roster from 90 to 75. All right, still to come, we'll hear from Josh McCown. We are going to hear, of course, from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, and from special teams coordinator Chris Tabor. Lots to get to. We'll be back with more CBD right after this.